Hey, everybody, on this episode of the GH Report, Jason finally talks to Jason, and the real Jason Morgan gets one step closer to returning to Port Charles. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, of course, when you hear that music, it can mean only one thing. That's right, it is the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV. This is a show that breaks down all the latest goings on in Port Charles. We talk about the storylines, the actors, you know, just like food that they might have ate on set. Just really, really cool speculation about a lot of fun craft service talk. It's going to be great, guys. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Brand. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And, you know, you couldn't get enough of them last week. So we had to bring him back this week. The chat is blowing up. Walker's back, everybody.
Yes. Hello, everyone. You can follow me at I Am Walker R on Twitter.
And, folks, you can always like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up while you're there. And, of course, Lucretia's got her computer up and running, which means the chat is up and running as well. So feel free to jump in and share any of your thoughts about what's going on in Port Charles or just general hospital talk. General hospital talk. All right, so I mean, I guess, you know, I teased about it there. That's been the biggest thing. We finally get that super cool split screen of Jason talking to Jason. Was it the payoff everybody's been waiting for? not your cup of tea, Lucretia?
I mean, it was just a little like that was it, the little split screen with them.
Mm-hmm. It Walker, did you enjoy it?
I'll second Lucretia.
You know, I mean, I guess it was at least the closest they could do to at least kind of like teasing us a little bit, I suppose. Yeah. But the weird thing is that, all right, so to jump ahead a little bit, Jason makes it to the church, gets a hold of a phone, and instead of calling Sonny again, because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, he decides he's going to call Sam and get a hold of Jake Doe this time. But I was like, and then he gives up like calling anymore. It's like, well, I'm just going to give you this phone back. Like, well, why not call Sonny again?
Yeah.
You were so keen on that number. That was the first thing that you wanted, like, more than anything, is somebody call that number, and he doesn't call it.
He's a little heartbroken. Another dude answered Sam's phone. Well, I'm guessing that's the only logical explanation, but even then, it's then.
It's almost like, are they not even pretending to play that he's not Jason? They're like, okay,
I don't think so.
Okay, he's calling Sonny, he's calling Sam. We'll talk about the rest of the week, but unless this is a whole big, the show's like, oh, we want you to think so, and then like at the end they're gonna do a different twist, and we're gonna be like, oh wow, I didn't see that coming. But
because I'm trying to think, like, if you called, I mean, I guess if you're thinking it's your wife or somebody that you're involved with, male or female, and you give that person a call, and somebody else picks up, are you immediately just assuming, oh, this person, who is this person? They're cheating on me. Do you immediately just jump to, like, what is this?
I would think that a lot, like, Sonny would think that, yeah, because that's how Sonny thinks. But Jason doesn't think that way.
No.
So I'm a little like,
He's a man of a few words anyway. So it character-wise, it does make sense for him to be like, he's not going to be like, hey, who is this? He's just like, I'm just too cool for school. I'm just going to hang up and...
Stone cold, man.
Yeah. Stone cold, yeah. That's right.
Who is this? Who is this? Oh, all right.
I really wish they would have let the bit go on a little bit longer just for comedic performance, because Steve Burton's hilarious.
But it's only frustrating is because that people have asked what his name is directly to him so many times, and he has not said it once. And it's so frustrating. He's so human. Who is this? Who is this? Like, what? Just say who you are. Why won't he ever say his name?
Yeah, he should have been like, I'm Jason Morgan, bitch. Who is this? Like,
I guess that's the only way that they can kind of try to play up that there's some kind of mystery.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't say who he is. But, well, why not just, if you really want to play the mystery, just say that he is Jason Morgan. Because doesn't that just solidify, like, all right, we've got two Jasons. What's the real deal? But we'll never know.
Yeah.
I doubt, is anybody having any sort of doubt that it's not really Jason Morgan, that he's the other twin?
No, I mean, Andrew Stark in the chat thinks Steve Burton is Drew, but that seems to be the only dissenter I've seen, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to know why he thinks that.
It would be fascinating. It would be really interesting. But, you know, thinking outside of, like, from not a fan, you like all those flashbacks and stuff that you can use with Steve Burton because he's been on forever. If you make him a different character, like then that's like none of that's going to matter anymore. Like you could still maybe flashback and be like, oh well, that's when my life when I thought I was, you know, no, that wouldn't even work.
Yeah. It doesn't explain how you would know Sonny's number and Sam's number as Drew.
And like if something happens, you know, God forbid the next Quartermain dies and they do a memorial, they couldn't use any of those flashbacks. If Monica, you know, sorry, I'm not saying Leslie is going to die, but if something, you know, if that happens and, you know, they have a big Monica, you know, they always like to do the flashbacks. And it's like, oh, well, here's a guy who's been on the show for 20 years and we have him growing up with her and we can't show it because he's Drew.
Yeah, that's very true. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, pretty well most of the chat is like, yeah, there's no way Steve isn't Jason. But Dion's Corner brought up a good point. I thought he was Drew, too, until the one promo that showed fake Duke kicking him in the water and the narrator saying he's been trying to come back for 5 years. So, I mean, they're pretty well saying it's him. Like, yeah.
Well, interesting that, you know, he's been trying to come back for 5 years, but as we learn by the end of the week, Jason does not realize that it has been 5 years.
Yeah. No.
I don't know how long he thinks it is, but it's definitely a lot shorter than what he finds out it is. Like, oh, I thought it was just a couple weeks. That's how I thought it was.
And that's the thing is that makes a lot more sense, too, to make him not remember all that time has passed, because we would have seen more him trying to get back if that were the case, if he thought he'd been gone for that long. But it does make more sense, at least, why he's not trying as hard. Yeah,
just you can always – a coma. You can always – a coma solves every problem. Yeah. Oh, I've been in a coma for, you know, 4 years, and I just woke up last year.
I'm going to go into a coma after the show. wake up next Sunday at right before 5 o'clock. So we'll see what happens.
You're going to miss Legends of Tomorrow, Friday.
Oh, wait. Okay, maybe not. Maybe all right, fine. So to jump back with Jason at the beginning of the week, it was great to finally see him out and about. I'd love to know where they shot all this. Like, this weird industrial section of Russia, or St. Petersburg, where just by happenstance, this priest happens to be walking. I've never walked out on this part of the church before until tonight. I'm like, okay. Well, we just had this in like a parking garage or somewhere. Well, where has this been shot at? But Jason goes inside the church and meets Griffin. So we get to see a little Port Charles connection there.
I love that Griffin's involved with this story because we're actually giving him something to do. And, you know, who better than Jason?
Yeah, I like that too. And because it also shows that they're actually progressing the story. And they're not going to have him isolated for forever.
Well, until we see how long this cruise ship takes. man. But I'm trying to figure out, like, just if you were... I'm trying to put myself in Griffin's shoes. If you met somebody there, you're in another country, and you meet somebody that's American, and you have this conversation, and they're in kind of dire straits, I don't know. Wouldn't you just, like... I feel like more conversation would be, like, well, can I help you? Where are you from? What's going on? Like, questions that I think would be asked that weren't asked.
Especially from Griffin, who is Dr. Hot Priest. I mean, that's the thing. This is what this guy does. He listens. That is why he's a priest and a doctor. I mean, you listen and you ask questions. That's both of your jobs.
Well, like, Griffin only has one thing on his mind, and that's Ava.
That's hot.
And it was just like, I'm only thinking about Ava. I have to get to Ava.
Yeah, man, I will tell you right now, I am getting really tired of good old his like Ava, I'm just a friend. I don't want anything else. It's like I'm seeing too many scenes of him, of Griffin rehashing the same thing over and over again. It's getting tiresome. I just want to see what the next step is. You got to just like move some step closer between the two of them.
Yeah, like in the chat, they're talking about they like the Griffin and Ava thing, but this brings up a good point going with that is what about Jason and Ava? Because, I mean, she's the one who saved him. So,
I feel like that'll be like a footnote.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see them going there.
I thought maybe if they were running away together and they were on this adventure together, I thought, okay, that might be, like, really interesting. But, you know, Ava's already back home and, like, you know, bandages off and everything, and Jason's, you know, on this whole different course, so.
Yeah, I feel like that just sort of served as Ava's new beginning.
Yeah.
You know, more than anything, rather than like a precursor to a relationship.
Yeah, I would think the only drama could manufacture would be with Sonny and Carly when Jason is back and he's also with Ava. But I don't know how long that will. I feel like Jason would ultimately side with Sonny and Carly.
I don't know, but he's pretty loyal. So I think that he's going to be torn. I think that's going to be interesting. He's going to be torn between, you know, you've done these bad things to people that I love, but you've also helped me when you didn't have to. So I think, you know, that could be fun.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I will say that it was, as you were mentioning, Walker 2, with, you know, Jason, kind of, or at least, you know, the old school version of Stone Cold, very quiet.
Yeah.
Didn't really talk a lot. And I feel like we were seeing this with Steve Burton, seeing more of that portrayal where he's kind of quiet and more just listening and not saying much.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a really different style than how Billy Miller's approaching the character.
It feels like Jason.
Yes.
That's why I noticed watching this week is like, this guy, like, his mannerisms, like, everything is just like he just walked back like he hasn't left one day.
And two, this is no insult to Billy Miller because I actually like the way that he's interpreted the character, but he said more in his few years than Steve Burton ever said the entire time he played Jason. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, which kind of flavor of Jason do you prefer? More of the kind of quiet and reserved, or would you rather have the way that Billy Miller has approached it and a pretty talky kind of guy?
I like the more quiet and reserved because it sort of fits with what he does.
Yeah, I didn't. This week was really like the actual where we got to see like a contrast. And I was like, yeah, I didn't realize how much that I was gonna enjoy having Steve back as Jason, and how much like that character. I was like, no, this is Jason. I really like this.
It's I don't know. There's just something. I mean, no offense to Billy Miller, but there's just something about like I feel like when you see Steve Burton in a potential like kind of fight situation.
Oh yeah, you believe it.
Yeah, I just believe. All right, Steve Burton's gonna you know, he's gonna whip some ass.
Yeah.
And Billy Miller, I mean, you're fine, but I just like no, I just feel like
yeah,
it's just not the same. I mean, it's like Trevor St. John versus Roger Holworth. I like them both, but once Roger came back, it was just like yeah, this is Todd.
That's...
like, and that's the thing is like it's no insult. It's just it is what it is.
Yeah.
Do you like the fact that we're gonna get Jason? That's pretty much. Since for him, he doesn't realize that much time has passed. It just, at least for right now, it appears like we're just going to get the Jason Morgan that went into the Port Charles River after he was kicked in there by Faison. We're going to get that Jason Morgan. Does that excite you, or are you kind of bummed that looks like we're really closing the door on any shot of maybe Quartermain memories?
I think we've gone. I think that ship sailed.
Yeah, I think if they'd gone that way with Billy Miller, then it would have worked. But I feel like at this point, I agree that I think I just don't see that ever happening. Yeah,
I bet I would agree, but I'm also disappointed by
that. Yeah, I wish we could have that, but
yeah, because I just feel like as nice as it's going to be to have Steve Burton back on the canvas again, I also feel like well, you know, maybe I don't know. For me as a viewer, wouldn't mind seeing a different spin on Jason Morgan. It doesn't have to be a huge spin. It doesn't have to be from Jason Quartermain to Jason Morgan that drastic. But the idea of getting to see some of the Quartermain memories kind of seep in to give him something else to play when he's here would be nice.
But you know, what happens when he gets to town? Like maybe, you know, maybe that's when something might change, and maybe he'll act in a way that Jason didn't act in the past.
It may be. I mean, and I guess you know, I guess fortuitously. Kind of plays into maybe why the powers that be really never really drove home the Billy Miller's version of Jason being more tied to the Quartermains.
Yeah.
It's because he's not really Jason Quartermain, so maybe he doesn't really have access to a lot of memories. He just has more of a general whatever kind of Helena may have programmed into him, but he doesn't have a huge database of Jason Quartermain memories to dive into.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows?
And but he'll have time to make Drew Quartermain memories.
That's true. We get to see Steve Burton once he makes it onto a cargo vessel, kind of being snuck back into the States, conveniently to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to see a scene of him just doing some push-ups, gearing up, like gearing up for whatever's going to be coming his way. Got to get those reps in.
And that goes back to, like, you believe, like, that's Jason.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, you know, Billy Miller, I don't see him doing push-ups. Like, that's just, like, a Stone Cold.
Yeah. And because when they cut to that of him just doing the push-ups, I was like, wait a minute, because we ended one episode with him about some guy throwing down on him, and then we just got to him doing push-ups, and then we come out to reveal, like, oh, it was a guy that we saw before with Ava and Nicholas. Kinsley?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Huxby.
Huxby?
Yeah.
So we get to see him back. A guy that I didn't really miss at all, but he is back. that British raconteur. Walker's a huge fan. Huge fan.
Yeah. I really don't understand the point of this unless we're getting Nicholas back. And that's the thing. Is like, there's so much talk about Nicholas bringing this guy in, you know, especially with the scenes with Ava. And it's like, this just seems mean.
I'll be curious to see where this is going. I mean, he gets him tied up, and Jason's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to go to sleep and not keep you tied up.
I don't think it goes anywhere. I think it was just a, you know what would be really cool? If we brought Trent Dawson back and have him interact with Jason. Let's do that. Okay. I think that's what it was. I don't think it was, there's no actual purpose.
So you figure they'll get to New York, they'll kind of just go their separate ways, and that's the last. Well, no, because I figure his path got across with Ava. I don't feel like you're going to bring him back on.
Well, spoiler alert. Trent has said he didn't get to work with Mara this time.
Oh.
Oh.
Then, well, yeah, then, all right, then after you saying that, Walker, I'm just like, then
so, why? So I'm thinking that they don't even make it. So to me, that means like something happens, like they didn't even make it to New York. Or maybe like there's a detour and he gets, you know, left to somewhere else.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Great. All right. Great.
Sorry.
Yeah. But back in St. Petersburg, we do get to see, it was a quick jump from Griffin and Jason talking in the church to all of a sudden Ava kind of really getting, she's basically going to get drugged out into oblivion just because of everything she did to help Jason escape and just become almost like a de facto prisoner of this hospital. To Griffin coming in just at the right second to stop not lethal, but, you know, terrible injection happening.
Yeah, that was hot.
That was hot. Yeah. That was hot.
Griffin came to save the day. I'm like, oh, I don't care how implausible this is. I'm just going to go with this storyline. Yeah.
I'm jumping on that bandwagon. I was a little like, I don't know, but I kind of like the Griffin. It took to Friday. It took Friday for me to be like, okay, I really like these two together.
Yeah, and I know Clinton Jones in the chat said that Griffin is way too good for Ava. Let's face it, Griffin is way too good for everyone on the show, but Ava's the coolest, so it's either Ava or Nina, guys. Oh. And she's got Valentine.
Yeah, but it's just, they just got to get Griffin off the, oh, I can't. I'm just here as a friend, Ava. That's all I'm here for.
Yeah, his talk with Franco, he, you know, and I'm surprised he still kept on it, but then those last scenes with him this week were like, oh, pining.
Yeah.
Oh, Griffin, you're adorable.
What do we think of Ava's look so far? I mean, she pretty much, I would say, what, like 75-80% the way back?
75-80%.
So if they, do you feel like that they're going to kind of keep this, what she's got right now, as kind of a permanent ongoing thing?
No.
Or is somebody going to be, hey, we figured out somebody in Port Charles that just is good enough to do this little bit of work to make sure you look okay?
I feel like they'll eventually do that
if
they're maybe going to introduce a new doctor. But yeah, at this point, why bother? She's fine. I was like,
It didn't look so. It didn't look so bad.
No. I'm like,
Yeah.
Todd had that scar for years.
I think it would be interesting if they keep it like that. Yeah. I don't think they will. I think they'll a miracle doctor or someone. Oh, guess what? You know, we forgot about this guy. He can actually do it.
That's true. Because I remember, like, I know when Fenella Hughes was on there, she did. I don't know how long she was on there, but she had like a fake scar for the longest time on there. Back when she came out, like, in the middle, you know, late 80s or so. I don't know how long she wore that for. But, so I was curious to always see when they do, like, cosmetic changes to a character.
Yeah.
How long it sticks.
And this show is, I don't mean it's mean, but it's very shallow.
Yeah.
It's very full of beautiful people. So they're not going to keep Mara West, like, disfigured for too long. They're just not going to have her just be on there like, no.
I did like, though, that she said, you know what, we're not going to try to sneak our way out of this here. We're just going to calmly walk out, call ourselves a cab, and just head right over to the airport. Mm-hmm. I liked her just kind of calm, nonchalant way of getting out of that hospital.
Yeah, like, that was a very smart plan because, yeah, nobody would call attention to it if you were just walking out. Like, why make a big scene? It was smart.
It was different for a soap. Because usually they always go for that whole, like, let's do the whole escape hijinks and risk getting caught or getting caught versus, like, no, actually, let's just leave.
Yeah.
Although, because he did, I mean, there was the one orderly that was kind of watching the door before the doctor came back to inject Ava. That orderly was no longer there. Like, I figure, like, you didn't run into any orderly that knew that you weren't supposed to be just walking out of here. But they, I guess they did. That's just how great Eva is. And now, I did like the one little manufactured drama when they're on the airplane. And they said, oh, we have to stop for, you know, security.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
that was just like the span of a commercial break. They just came back, oh, well, we're fine we're now, good. Everybody. Like, oh, all right, thanks, guys, for that nice manufactured bit of drama. But they're back, and one visitor that comes back there is Valentine. Just wanted to touch base. And Ava's like, you know, look at this. I should double recant and go back to my original statement and say, like, you killed Nicholas because my face isn't fixed yet. Would you see Ava actually, do you feel like she could actually go through with that and say, you know what, I'm just going to get up here and say that he pretty much bribed me to get my face back and in exchange for for recanting the testimony?
I do see Ava doing that because she seemed truly regretful of even making that decision. And that's something that if she thought it would do good, and that would be the only reason I would think that they're just going to drop it, is I think that she'll think it won't do any good either way. But, yeah, I could see her going back and being like, yeah, he bribed me.
But there's something, it kind of goes back to what I said last week. There's something missing for me with this Valentine. Because after they had that conversation and he left, and Griffin throws him out, and she, like, goes to Griffin, and, like, she's, like, has, like, such a just reaction of, like, he's just so evil. I can't, like, he's just so, like, this terrible. And I'm just, like, I'm not feeling it from this guy. Like I'm not feeling that this guy is making Ava Jerome, like, almost in tears. Like, Ava's such a badass character. And so maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just not getting it.
Oh, no, I agree that that's the biggest problem with Valentine, is that he is so likable, and there's constantly people around saying how evil he is, and you're just like, really? I mean, yeah. And like you say, with Lulu, she's kind of an annoying harpy, yeah. And so you expect her to behave that way. With Ava, you're like, he's not really that scary. I'm surprised she didn't tell him to F off so many times.
It's like, she's gone head to head against Sonny, who, you know, we know Sonny's the end all be all of the show. And each time she's matched him. And this one conversation with this guy has her in tears and, like, so shaken up by it. I'm just like.
Well, there have been times that Ava has been freaking out about, like, Sonny finding out about changing Michael's pills.
Yeah.
When she thought that he found out, it's like, oh, she was freaking out.
But again, that's something major. Like, yeah. There's something. I feel like they're trying to tell us that he's such a baddie, then show us.
Yeah.
I guess that's because he was brought in as such a baddie.
Yeah.
And as we talked about last week, and then kind of rehabilitated thanks to Nina and Charlotte. And I also feel like, I guess if you push him towards the dark side, which maybe they have coming up, they're going to get more tempted now that they're bringing back our mystery lady from Monaco who's going to come back in. But I also feel like that's just going to basically set up for Nina to leave again. Because I feel like Nina's staying with him just because of all the good that she sees in him. And if all of a sudden he starts sliding into more like his kind of bad boy ways before she came along.
Unless they go a really fun route and just have her embrace her bad side again. And they just be the gruesome twosome couple, poor Charles just causing havoc.
To be honest, I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you know, because I like Nina as the ingenue. But at the same time, Michelle Stafford can do anything. So it's like...
She's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather see that than see another storyline where, because I thought that was drug out so long, that little rift between Nina and Valentine.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, please. I don't want to see that again. I'd feel like much like it would be like with Sonny and Carly. Anytime they kind of break up, you're like,
oh, yeah.
Guys, I mean, and certainly they don't have the track record of Sonny and Carly, but I feel like with Sonny and Carly now, you just manufacture some reason for them to be angry at each other, kind of drift off, and then they're just ultimately going to come back together.
Yeah.
So we're just like, why did we watch this last 2 or 3 months of all this craziness, just because we know you're ending back up again.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's true. We do have Monaco Lady coming, which I thought she was already gone from the show.
No, she's got to get cured. But I can't get cured here. I have to go to the States to get treated.
And I love Jessica Tuck, and I love that, you know, Fanola and Michael Easton are working together, but at the same time, I don't really get why this was thrown in here right now.
No.
And I think that's the thing, is... it just seems a little thrown together. Yeah.
Well, I mean, because I feel like I want to ask you two about this. Because certainly the whole thing about, you know, Anna had this vendetta against Valentine. Wanted to find out what the real deal is. And finally everything comes out about what the deal is and that, you know, her twin sister was kind of playing him as well. And I felt like after the whole resolution of that whole virus and everything that was taken care of, I felt like they were in a place where they maybe didn't like each other, but at least they had, a, you know, just an understanding. But I feel like Anna is just like, she's relentless in this whole Valentine thing, and I don't know quite understand why.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it doesn't really make sense for Anna or for Valentine, because to me, the way that it, her story had been played is she felt guilty for making him turn this way. But at the same time, now we figured out why, everything's forgiven, blah, 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 move on, but Anna just kept it. And that's why I say it doesn't really track with her, other than, as I said, she's just actually attracted to him, and they just need to do it and get it over with. But yeah. Now that they put him and Nina back together, it's like, well, you know, you missed your chance.
I'm not sure what they're doing. It's almost like they're like, okay, well, what can we give her to do? Because it's like, oh, well, let's make her obsess over another thing again. Because, you know, I know Anna and Duke were just long, blah, 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 blah. But that whole obsession with Carlos and, like, that went, and then to Paul, like, I gotta get Jessica for Duke. I gotta get Jessica. And now it's like, oh, Anna has a new obsession. She has to go, like, against, it's just like, there has to be, like, you know, I've been watching the show for a long time. Anna has not always been, like, this vindictive woman who's always, like, have to, like, go after and make something right. There's more to play with for her.
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with that. And, you know, I don't know. Every time I watch a scene, as much as I enjoy the scenes between her and Michael Easton, every time I see them doing a scene together, I'm bummed that it's not Andre.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Like, for the longest time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I enjoyed the connection and the chemistry between her and Andre for the longest time. And they, you know, for various reasons, like, you know, injuries or, you know, working on different projects, taking leave. That just always was kind of just teased in the background. And then they kind of brought it to a head when they had that kiss when they were about to do a dancing lesson. And then they just essentially seemed like they dropped it.
Yeah, I would agree that it makes no sense why it's not him. I mean, other than the fact that we all love Michael Easton and his story was dropped, but Hayden should have never been dropped in the first place. And that's the thing, is this is them quickly scrambling, but now you've left Andre out in the cold when this should have been his story. And I think that's the thing, is they're not balancing things well.
No, you said it, the nail on the head. That's what it is. It's okay, well, we got rid of Rebecca, so who are we going to have Finn romantically be? Okay, Anna. And no offense, Michael Easton is here, and the guy who plays Andre is down here, so, you know, he got sacrificed for his storyline.
Oh, that's really a disappointment, because there was such great chemistry with them. And, I mean, I selfishly, if I'm going to see Michael Easton interacting with Fenella Hughes, I would rather wish it would be John McBain.
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly.
You know, I'd rather see that.
Yeah.
Give me some McBain.
Because they did have, you know, interactions, yeah, like when John first came on the show, and they were so good because they knew each other from...
Yeah, it was...
And it made sense. That's the thing, is giving them that backstory made sense, because he was in the FBI. Same thing with Andre.
And also, John McBain was more of a man that could handle Anna Devane than Finn. Finn is just so, like, wimpy and whiny to me that... Just like,
I like Finn, but he's weird. He's quirky.
Well, I will appreciate it. I like seeing Finn more in this storyline, because for the longest time he was so mired up in him trying to get a cure for his disease, being saddled with this addiction. Those are like the two big defining things about his character, and that really got old with me. So I'm bummed to see Hayden gone, but at least I'm liking seeing him in a storyline that is not related to his addiction or trying to cure this illness that he has.
Yeah, I feel like, as far as a direction for Finn's character, this is great for him. But I just don't see this benefiting Anna in the long run, because the obsession with Valentine doesn't make sense. No. Yeah.
It's, it is bummer. Maybe Finn should just, can we just have, because we've had him play, you know, twins before. Mm-hmm. Can he just play, you know, Finn and John McBain? Just play both of them.
It goes back to last week. Can we just have Todd and Franco?
Yes. Yeah.
And then just fade out Franco, and then just fade out Finn, and we have Todd and John McBain.
Yeah, let Finn take off and he finds Hayden, and they live happily ever after.
Because John rather, like, and then it's more fun that John McBain hates Todd, and John McBain and Sam had a connection. It's just like.
I enjoyed that so much more. Yeah. And it was nice to see somebody working for the Port Charles police that was good, that was getting stuff done. Because I felt like you can't have John McBain come on your show and
Be stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he was making things happen. Speaking of stupid, at the Port Charles police department there, we've got Nathan.
I was afraid of this.
Manlanders. Like, what? When he comes in, at first I thought, you think about any kind of police shows that you watch, or you know, like, the stories about people working in police. What they love to do is give each other a hard time.
Yeah.
And they will ride each other. You know, if you do something silly, the people that you work with will ride you harder than anybody about it. And when he comes in, there's people like giving, you know, like giving him treats and like putting all these balloons and flowers on his desk.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No way. There would be people making fun of him so badly
on
this. Yeah,
that's the thing. Is you may be getting that kind of stuff, but there should have been male cops harassing him and making fun of him. That's the part that was unbelievable. Yeah, because as you say, I get people doing that, and I did so expect Jordan to ask him advice, not fire him. But yeah. The fact that Dante didn't make fun of him, missed opportunity.
Yes.
The whole, none of that was believable. Like, yeah. I just watched Chicago Fire a couple hours ago, and, like, that's a show, you know, same world, kind of, but they give each other such a hard time. Like, the guy comes back, and it's just, like, it's constant ribbing.
Yes.
And, like there's like, so the sweet stuff is, like, so rare because there's so much ribbing all the time. So it'd be like, well, let's, you know, that would have been...
Yeah, I feel like that's how you show your affection for people is through ribbing them, not by like baking them treats and putting balloon animals and flowers and stuff on their desk.
I really think that they don't get that though at General Hospital because they don't get that's why we all love the Quartermains. I mean, Ned and Dylan would be giving each other shit.
Yeah.
Like, why is that not there when they tend to think, oh, let's all have hunky dory all the time since work? It's like, no. If I'm Dante, I would be straight up mocking Nathan like all day long.
Yeah. We also have him, and just the scenes of him talking to Maxie right there in the squad room, like, I think I'm gonna get fired. Like, all right. Did you have any doubt that he was not gonna get fired?
Oh, I so saw it coming a mile away. I'm like, yep, Jordan's gonna ask him for love advice. Oh god. Like, is this where we're going on this show? Man Landers is gonna be around forever.
Yeah.
Oh,
just because
they hate us.
We also get to see a conversation between Maxie and Amy. Amy kind of accusing Maxie of being jealous because Nathan's in the spotlight and Maxie isn't anymore. What did you think of that scene between Maxie and Amy?
I actually thought it was somewhat of a regression in the story, at least, that it made sense for the Maxie character to kind of have that thought, and we have this manufactured history of Amy and Maxie, so I'm like, okay, well, this is moving forward, maybe away from Manlanders, so,
a crazy, made-up history, because Maxie was nothing like...
No.
Like, you know, I don't know.
Because I'm like, just... you know, Maxie was, like, so good to Lucas when he came out of the closet then. That's why it doesn't really track with those of us who've been watching, but I'm like, okay, well, it's at least somewhat story development.
It's, like, you have a superstar in Kirsten Storms, and this is what we have for her to do, is to have a, like, are they going to a love triangle? Like what's...
I hope not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's frustrating because as much as you, I think a lot of us kind of lamented, like, why is Nathan on the show by himself? We're not really explaining why Maxie's going. And we know that there are personal reasons why Kirsten Storms was off the show. But everybody wanted Maxie back because just at least Nathan needed something to do because the writers weren't giving him at least a storyline. But now she's back and it's still like, well, this is what we're, I agree with you, Walker. Like, this is what we're getting now with her back. Like, she's just kind of floundering right now, and I want to see a direction.
Yeah, it's like, you know, she's not going back to work at the magazine. Like, what are we going to do? It's just going to be, you know, jabs at Amy and more, Manlanders for the next 6 months.
Oh. Yeah, please no. That's why I was like, I was hoping that this little bit would be like, oh, this is where Maxie gets a little bit of a head to go do something with her life, and then that's it. But I'm an optimist, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm wondering who's getting name-checked more. I want to start counting up there. Is it Chet or is it Nicholas? Because Chet is coming up fast and strong on Nicholas in terms of everybody keeps mentioning Chet. It's like, are we going to see this Chet guy at all, or are we always just going to be mentioning him as...
That and Oscar's mom. Like, that's another character that, like, they keep on bringing these people up, and it's like, okay, like, are we going to get him?
The Oscar's mom one makes sense to me because I think we are going to get her.
Yeah.
I think she was on the show before, and that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, really? Well, let's say more, Walker. Say more.
Yeah,
what's your speculation?
The Miss Braun.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Braun?
Yeah.
Wait, which one was that?
Tamara
Braun. Oh, she was the second Carly.
Yes.
Yeah, and is that maybe her character?
Maybe her character? No, interesting. Which is the only thing that will save that storyline for me, because I care nothing about Jocelyn or Lil Oscar. But if you have Carly number 2 versus Carly number 3 over their kids, and as much as, like, Tamara's history of playing a mother bear to, like, little Michael, that could be magic.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
If that's where they're going.
And then Sunny and her hook up. Like, yes. Yeah, because they actually had good chemistry.
That would be absolutely magic.
Yeah. This is way better than probably what they've come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that would be interesting. I mean, because I also feel like it's also, they keep really not tipping the hat towards Oscar's father. Trying to find out who his father is. So I don't know if that's a potential storyline.
Okay.
No. Oh, and someone's brought up, Annie Goen says, they've read Oscar's mom might be Brenda, and I might not like that. No,
she, Brenda. Vanessa. Oh. What? Oh, my gosh. Stop this podcast. Right. What? Oh, my gosh.
Oh. That's all I
can. Are you a huge Brenda fan?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The sun rises and sets on Brenda Bear for me.
Really? I'm sorry.
Yes. She would, that would be like, if it was announced tomorrow that Vanessa was coming back, I would be like, I would throw a Twitter parade.
But you have to admit, the last time she was on the show, it did not do service to that character. That was a pretty rough go.
The last, is that, that's the nurse's ball, a little stint?
Or yeah, where she had sex with Michael.
Yeah, but, okay, so that part was dumb. But the last scene, her goodbye scene with Sunny in the airport, like, those two have so much magic after, like, all these years. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, they have the chemistry.
They have the chemistry.
But, like, I just hate the Brenda character.
Oh, my gosh. My heart.
So if you could have anybody come back onto the show right now, that'd be it.
Yeah, that's it.
Over Nicholas.
Yeah.
I started watching when Brenda came to town as Julia's sister. And they're in high school with Jagger and Karen and Jason and
yeah.
So you know, that's been like my character. Like, she's my number one.
Because I started watching her about that same time as well too. So I mean, she was fine, and then she got really annoying. She like when she got up together with Jax, that was fine, but then she crossed this line where she just got really annoying.
Yeah, and that's how I always remembered her character, is just being annoying. And that was the thing, is I'm like, oh my god, oh, she's back. Like, and that was the thing, and she'd do these stints in primetime and then come back, and then you'd be like, okay, I don't care.
But her Oscar's mom would be good, but she's already said, no, mm-hmm. like, she's not gonna do a mom story. Because she does. She says it all the time. You can ask her on Twitter right now. Tweet her. And she'll say, she said, Brenda doesn't have a son. That whole Alex storyline, that didn't happen.
She
realizes the storyline sucked, and she's like, I don't even think about that part of Brenda's history.
It's like, I pretend like Jacob Young never played Lucky. Yeah. Nothing that happened during that time really happened.
That's, yeah.
Like, nope. That's why Lucky is a perfect character, and y'all never ruined him.
That's that actually is a character I'd like to see come back on the canvas.
Oh, yeah.
It
would be great.
Only if it's Jonathan.
I would be okay with Greg Vaughn at this point, though. As much as I love Jonathan, I feel like enough time has passed, and he doesn't want to. But with Steve Burton back, he might actually come back. If we could get Jonathan back,
Now will be the time you can get him back.
Yeah, because I don't know what they're doing with Nashville. Yeah.
It's back. It's coming back.
Yeah. Until it gets canceled, I feel like we're not going to see him. Unless there's like some big salute to Jeannie Francis coming up that we can get him to come back for.
Yeah. He'll do that.
Yeah. But otherwise, we'll just get him like another character that kind of gets name checked every while. Oh, I talked to your brother.
Yeah.
Kelly from PEI says, I don't need to scare you away with my I hate Brenda talk.
Also this week we get to see a little bit more with Nell and Michael, and a little bit of an argument between Nell and Michael, where Michael finds in one of those great stage soap scenes where you know, he drops the book accidentally, and then, oh wait, there's something inside it all along. There's this ring. I didn't mind the conversation between Nell and Michael about kind of figuring out what the deal is, and I don't know why Nell was so reluctant to saying, this family just treated me like garbage. I had the ring, but I didn't want to give her the satisfaction of letting her know I had the ring.
And that was the thing, is I actually like that that's what Nell said, and I believe she's genuine, because she's like, yeah, you know what? What were you going to think? And that she didn't defend herself really either. She was just like, yeah, that's what I wanted, and didn't think you'd believe me, so whatever. It's like, all right, I actually like this person. Yeah. You hate Nell, so.
I'm still not a fan.
Still not a fan?
Still not a fan.
No?
No.
I mean, you know,
like, oh my gosh, I found this ring. You told her you didn't have it anymore. Well, they treated me like bad. I was like, oh my God, fast forward.
I love your Nell
impression. I would sue you. I would get the cops involved. Like, you would? Well, I would if it was an heirloom. It was my grandmother's ring. Yes. That's what they, when you get money, that's what you do. You get the cops and the law involved. Absolutely. But they reach kind of, they reach a resolution. They mend their fences there. And then Michael says, hey, do you want to come upstairs? Conveniently, we're having this big party to celebrate my grandma right upstairs. You want to come?
It's like, what world does Michael see this as a good idea?
Yep, Michael's like, dumb. He got shot in the head.
Is it like... I'm trying to think of, like, his love interest. Like, okay, we had Kiki. Or was he with Kiki?
Yeah.
Or was it just Star? Or was he... I guess.
Yeah, he was with both, because they decided to change Kiki's parentage so they could stay together.
So it's like... I just... This guy. Chad Duell. Okay, people, please don't tweet me mean stuff about him. He's a great actor. And he's can do so much more. He deserves more. Of the storyline.
Yeah, they have not ever, to me, given him a great love interest. No. Now, Abby was fine. That was the thing, is they had chemistry that was cute, but they just weren't invested in her. And then maybe the next best one was Star. But yeah, once Kirsten was playing Kiki, it's just like, ever since then, he has not had a good track record.
No,
because they put him with, like, the most dull people as far as the chemistry with him, and that's the thing, is Sabrina, and
loved Michael and Sabrina.
Oh, wow. What? Seriously? Did you not watch our show? We had like literally
I
a
thought
weekly
they session. Were so oh, I liked Michael man. And Sabrina.
No way, that was terrible.
Nell is no Sabrina. I say that today.
I'll take Nell any day over
oh
Sabrina.
Oh my God, no.
Those were painful scenes to watch. I never once bought that those two were in love. Never.
I like
this is my favorite one, Doula Man. Michael is gay. Like, I'm sorry. Like, they really could have made a good story with Michael and Felix because they had chemistry, and like Brad had the hots for Michael at one point. So they really just had a lot of missed opportunities. And yeah, and then Rosalie, yeah, she had chemistry with him.
Yeah, Rosalie.
Like, yeah, exactly. Rosalie. I was like, who was that?
Yeah, we never found out her big secret either.
Yeah.
Nope.
Remember she had this huge secret? Yeah, that's...
That her marriage between her and Brad, so essential.
Yeah.
It was so swiped away. It was just like, nope, we're good. This was not a huge
and
big deal.
She was actually interesting. And that's the thing, is you'll get these, you know, like Abby or Rosalie or something. You're like, oh, these characters are great with him. And they're interesting. And then nothing.
And then, like, if you go on Twitter, like, everyone wants Serena back. Because
really?
Serena Baldwin.
Oh, Serena, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because they think, like, the Serena, Michael, the Sunny, Scotty, the history repeating itself. They're like, oh, we want that storyline. It's just like...
Yeah, and that's what we get
a lot
of,
dream.
Too.
That's the dream storyline.
And if Carly Schroeder didn't want to come back full of time, I don't know why they didn't make Chloe Lanier nail Serena Baldwin. Because that's been a lot of the talk, is like, she honestly would have been a decent fit for that character.
Well, when the original, when Carly, she's like... I want to come back. She's like, I love to come back. And it's just like, you know, but that's, you know, why use history when we can create or make our own history?
Well, I mean, to think that there's scenes where you could have Serena come back, it'd be awesome and do a lot. Instead, we don't really bring back that character that could have a lot of storyline potential, but we keep Aunt Stella around, which I was...
No.
To go back to save this Nell storyline, for me... The only way that I would be interested in like this whole is the sister, and the sister would have to be, they don't have a stunt cast and get a name for the sister. The sister would have to be like someone that I'm like, oh, I know her from whatever show, and like have some type of familiar, like just like watching Dave Player number GH was so day player heavy this week. I watched it, was like, okay, we have the priest, and we have the guy the priest was with, and we got the people in the clinic, and then we got Jessica Tuck, and we got the people, Jessica Tuck. I was like, what? Like, are they just giving out SAG cards over there?
They had a nice little scene with, like, you know, yeah, Jessica Tuck and her right-hand man.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you need a SAG card? Come on. We'll give you five lines.
just to wrap up the Nell storyline, I don't know why, I agree with you, Walker, like, why Michael keeps insisting on this. I feel like you just have to agree to, like, there's some people in our family that are never going to get together.
They're never going to get together.
So why keep trying to force
them? And why would you expect, and, like, I don't see how I could still be with her in the first place. Like, there's not that much pity in the world that, like, you did this to my family, but, oh, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, Carly, I feel like, could, given time, kind of warm over to Nell, but Bobby, man, she is just...
I love it.
Just can't stand her.
It is funny. I will say, it doesn't make sense other than the fact that Bobby is treating Nell like she wants to treat Carly. And that's what I feel like. This is all like, I can't get my own daughter, so I'm going to get Nell. Because, like, Nell is really not even, like, a smidgen near what Carly was to Bobby. So I'm a little like, but this is why. And I get it. But it is funny.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yeah, just Bobby's reaction when Carla said you couldn't be a little less on the nose with that.
Yeah,
and she's like,
I laughed at that. I actually really liked Carly this week, but yeah, the whole Bobby luncheon. I mean, it was like that was it.
Yeah,
like big freaking deal in General Hospital for years, and that's all she gets. And we get a mention of Brad and Lucas, and then it's like,
oh, and the possibility of adoption.
Yeah, and then
and Valerie's the one that's telling
them. Yeah,
oh, come on.
Ugh. Yeah, just to feel like that she's kind of involved in their lives in some way. Like, oh,
yeah, I was just over there the other day.
Like, I saw some pamphlets. Yes. Fans, as we're getting ready to kind of wrap up here, you know, we're talking about super fans, and I know Lucretia cannot get enough of super fans when it comes to AfterBuzz.
I cannot. But, yeah, we just want to remind you guys about exciting changes at our network. You may have noticed that the GH Report now airs on a brand new YouTube channel. That's because we're catering content to match your wants, and all of our shows currently live on content-specific verticals. Since you're a fan of our show, all of the content on this channel, our AfterBuzz TV Dramas channel, should be right up your alley. So hit that subscribe button right now. We have 9 genre-based YouTube channels, which you can find on the homepage of this channel. Subscribe to your favorites. AfterBuzz is the leader in custom TV coverage, and we're always looking to improve. Let us know what you think on all social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV, or email us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And for reference on those channels, guys, we have the Comedy Channel, the Drama Channel, which is what this one is on, the Sci-Fi Superhero and Fantasy Channel, which is where you can usually find me and Frank, the Reality TV, Reality Competition. There's so much, they split them up, guys. Animation, and then wrestling, sports. Hopefully, they'll get some hockey content on there. And our red carpets and events have their own channel now, and featured and original content. Ooh. Cool.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Yes, so subscribe early, subscribe often.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go. As we're getting ready to wind down, one other storyline that we should touch on is the whole Charlotte's custody, where we've had Valentine and Nina, and then Dante and Lulu. That really awkward discussion about who's going to spend where on which holiday. That was just like, why do we even have this conversation? Because you guys are just like zero compromise whatsoever.
Yeah, and that was sort of the thing, is Lulu is just such a child about all of it. It's like, no, we're having Thanksgiving at the Quartermain. Yeah, and that throws a fit. There are times where I'm like, why do we never get scenes where Dante rolls his eyes? Like, like it's so not believable.
And I feel like that whole scene was just for him to say, yeah, are you gonna pull a gun on me like your mother did? I feel like that was just like, okay, we need to talk about how Laura, you know, pulled a gun out and threatened to shoot Valentine. And
yeah, because I know Frank Valentini, he tweeted out, it's like, you won't believe what Laura does, what shocking thing Laura does on today's episode. And then I watch it, and I'm like, oh, she pulled a gun out on him that was not loaded with bullets, but just to kind of make him feel a little scared for a moment.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
If she had shot him, that would have been like, oh.
Yes. I would have been all right with that. It's I don't know. Where we're going with this whole
I
yeah.
I like how long are we going to keep playing these custody? I thought this was already, like, we've already decided custody. Like, I thought this was all worked out. Why is it now, like...
And I really don't get... Valentine has been pretty reasonable. He's like, no, I agree that we should just share custody. Let's be reasonable. And so it's kind of hard to paint him as a villain in this story. I don't get it.
Tell me, though, what family do, like... Because when Nina says, like, we do a two-day celebration, like... Stop being so, like, greedy with that. Yeah. Just one day is fine. Like, give one family gets Christmas Eve, the other one gets Christmas Day. You don't need to do a two-day celebration.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's just, like, when you're divorced, that's what you do with the kids. It's, like, one gets Christmas Eve, the other one gets Christmas Day. That's just how things work.
It's just sad. It's, like, you have, you know, Michelle Stafford and M. Ryland, two amazing actresses, and this is what we have them doing, discussing who gets Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff this week, everybody.
It was. Jason.
The Jason stuff
was really good. Yes. I'm very presently surprised by that.
All right, and so, Avon Griffin.
Are we getting, as we're getting ready to wrap up, should we move up our predictions about when he's going to actually get to Port Charles, seeing as the ship's landing in New York?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like he's going to get there, but he maybe won't see Sam until November.
The fans seem to think that he's coming the 19th because that's the day that he left. So online they're thinking like he'll hit Port Charles on the 19th, which not this week but sometime next week.
All right, I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I would say next Friday.
All right, Vera, yeah, there you go. A little synchronicity right there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, look at this. The time has just flown by. Look at us. We did it again, Walker.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. But you know what? The fun doesn't stop here. It just gets started. Of course, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up while you're there. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Appreciate all your feedback and your thoughts about the show as we broke it down all episode long here. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show is over, Walker, where can they find you? Because you're the audience favorite.
No. You can find me on Twitter at I am Walker R.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And be sure to watch all the DC shows this week. I know that Frank and I will both be on Legends of Tomorrow. I'll be on Supergirl. Just find those under the AfterBuzz TV sci-fi, superhero, and fantasy, because I believe they're all coming back at their regular time from last year, 9 p.m. For Supergirl and 10 p.m. for Legends of Tomorrow. And then we also have a show on Book Circle Online called The Comic Book Exchange, guys. Watch us now at 10 p.m. there live, and then you'll see us really live at L.A. Comic Con.
Yes.
So, yeah, come and watch me and Frank at 4 p.m. October 28th at the Los Angeles Convention Center.
Ooh, look at that. It is a must-see event there. Oh boy, it's going to be good times. And of course, folks, oh yeah, I guess we could add Riverdale.
That's coming back as well.
Oh, excited.
But folks, I dare you to follow me on social media. All right. Until next time, folks, we're going to see you back here next Sunday night for another hot episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.